In the next 60 minutes here on Newsnight, government's neglect of critical medical equipment at Ghana's premier health facility, the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, leaves head of MRI unit frustrated as it reveals Kolebu is compelled to rent CT scan machine 5 years after its own equipment broke down.
640 slice CT scanner. There are three in Africa, and Ghana has one. This machine in Kolebu has been down over 5 years. The CT scanner we have currently in Kolebu does not belong to Kolebu. It's for a private individual.
Also, crisis on the labor front on the horizon, with more unions considering industrial action over working conditions as CTAC vows not to call off their strike after court-adjourned case brought by the National Labor Commission against them indefinitely.
So it looks like whenever you call off the strike, the people who are supposed to take action, they do not do so. So now we are resolved that until it is implemented, we are not going back to the classroom.
And I will tell you how public universities are on the edge tonight as looming strike by three teacher unions over the unpaid teacher allowance is threatening to disrupt academic activities.
So if all the junior staff and the senior staff are embarking on strike, you can imagine whether you can see whether the university will be able to work. If all drivers, all cleaners, all secretarial workers, account workers, nurses, security and all that.
And meanwhile, the Federation of Allied Health Professionals at Kolebu, who are demanding a seat on the hospital's management board, are counting the days until a new 9-day ultimatum expires.
So we are to report the next week Thursday. We are just trusting on the minister to get this issue resolved. Without it, we will have to return back to our members.
And here on the election headquarters later, we are on the campaign trail as the NDC flag bearer John Mahama accuses the MPP of vote buying in the run-up to the 2024 elections as he takes his campaign to the Upper East.
I've been in the house almost 4 years now. So the government promised to post that. Up to now, we haven't heard of any financial clearance. So now I struggle to feed.
That money they are bringing is your money. Yes. If they bring it, collect it, and...
And we have more from the campaign trail as MPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is now in the eastern region interacting with chiefs and opinion leaders.
No quarini, a viasi, and yahumaso, and I yedi ebribi, namoya humbrase, a ya honorable vice president, and ne ope president eddy. Papa yo humbrase fu ye papa.
Business Bank of Ghana bars more than 200 businesses from accessing new credit facilities for the next 3 years with issuance of Dutch checks.
You want to stay with us for more on business. Also tonight, Ghanaians in the UK fearful of their safety as anti-immigration protests targeting minority groups sweep across the country.
No quarini, a viasi, and yahumaso, and I yedi ebribi, namo yahumbrase, a ya honorable vice president.
We are traumatized about the current protests happening here in the UK. We've warned our kids not to go out.
You want to stay with us for that and more here on Newsnight after the break.
Hello, my name is Mamukia, an entrepreneur and a mother of two. My work keeps me busy most of the time and sometimes it takes me away from my family. But the safety and health of my family is very important to me. As a working mother, I cannot afford to take any chances when it comes to matters of health. That is why I signed up for a family healthcare plan from Equity Health Insurance. My family and I have access to over 700 hospitals, clinics, opticians, dentists, pharmacies and diagnostic centers across the length and breadth of Ghana. With Equity Health Insurance, I no longer have to worry about medical bills. Anytime a member of my family visits a hospital, Equity Health Insurance has got my family and I covered. What about you? Who has got you covered?
Call Equity Health Insurance on 050-660-7910 and talk to them about your family health needs now. Visit equityhealthinsurance.com for more information. Equity Health Insurance, here for you.
Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining, whining my ears. Bugging me all night long. Till I got a remedy. Now I'll be spraying them away with holy insecticide spray. Here I go spray them away with holy insecticide spray. When I sleep, I sleep.
Holy Mosquito mosquito quell, holy multi-purpose insecticide spray. Ghana Kron Kron. For bulk purchase, call 0302-681582. This advert is FDA approved.
Do you want a healthy smile?
Are you waking up with jaw pain and headaches? This is commonly caused by grinding your teeth at night. Hi, I'm Tanya from Bethel Dental Clinic, Ghana. This condition is known as bruxism or grinding. Oftentimes, people are unaware that they are doing so, but the side effects are visible and often heard by one's sleep partner. So if you're experiencing jaw pain, headache, sensitivity, and even fractured teeth, you may be a clincher or grinder. It can also wear down your teeth and affect your overall health. After a dental visit, a custom-made knife guard will be made for you. This occlusal guard is worn to protect your teeth while you sleep to prevent further damage and discomfort. So, contact your dental office to learn more about protecting your teeth from clenching and grinding.
Healthy smile.
Ghana Fuel, tell you sell the more money promo number.
Everybody likes money, but what do we like more than money?
Money!
Join the Telecel More Money promo and win money,
more money,
and even more money. Simply opt in for free and reload your mobile and broadband and be the lucky winner of the 1 million Ghana cedis grand prize. Also win cash prizes of up to 3 million Ghana cedis in the daily and weekly draws. Opt in for free by dialing *500# or send win to 500, or you can opt in on the Telecel Play app. The more you reload, the higher chances of winning in the Telecel More Money promo. Keep loading, win, and be a millionaire.
Telecel, connecting energies.
Terms and conditions apply. This promo is regulated by the NLA on the Caritas Lottery platform.
And you are live on Newsnight. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. And I will be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world. Send me a WhatsApp, 055-11-11997. Tonight, there is frustration at Ghana's premier health facility, the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, over government's neglect of critical medical equipment there. Now, the Kolebu's head of the MRI unit, Dr. Edward Iam, has been speaking up about the challenges you're facing there. Now, you'll recall that doctors at the oncology department of the Komfanoti Teaching Hospital laid down their tools in June this year, raising similar concerns about the failure of government to repair broken machines at the department. We have since learned that the situation is not different at the MRI unit at Ghana's premier referral facility, the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. Speaking on the Pulse, head of the MRI unit of the hospital says Kolebu is now forced to rent a private CT scan machine because the hospital's own machine, which broke down 5 years ago, is yet to be fixed.
In Kolebu Teaching Hospital, and I am a radiograph, and I'm the head of MRI in Kolebu, we have a CT scanner, a 640-slice CT scanner. There are three in Africa, and Ghana has one. This machine in Kolebu has been down over 5 years. The CT scanner we have currently in Kolebu does not belong to Kolebu. It's for a private individual. Kolebu does not have its own CT scan. As for MRI, I'm sure people have been hearing how often MRI goes down and patients have to be going out. You know, we have to be transporting patients, the cost of ambulance to get patients to the various other places, the inconvenience, our roads are so bad. So a patient is in ICU, needs a scan because our machines and all are not being catered to properly. They have to be carried all the way to a particular place and brought back. Currently, we have only, in the main radiology department, we have only one X-ray machine working.
Hey, the whole of Kolebu.
So we have one at the child health department. Mm-hmm. We have one at a chest clinic. Mm-hmm. The one at the polyclinic is down, and in the main hospital, only one machine is working. So you should come and see patients queue. You should
X-ray.
For X-ray. We have over eight machines that are down, that are just lying down. It is a sad situation, my brother. It says, if you go to the lab, it's the same story. And most of these machines were given to the hospital. In Kolebu, now they're setting up some private places, okay? But for me, the point is, if we have something that is for the nation, that is for us, even if we want to have something on the side, let us take good care of what we have.
Well, my colleague James Klutsch Abeji has been speaking to the CEO of the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, joins me in the studio. What have you learned from him?
Yes, Evans.
So he insists that currently there's a CT scanner, the hospital is just not definite about whether that CT scan is the private one we are talking about or it actually belongs to the hospital. He is not definite on that, only to invite us to the hospital to cross-check by ourselves. But he's insistent that currently Kolibu has a CT scan working at the hospital.
Okay, but did he respond specifically to the allegation that he's having to rent?
He will not speak to that.
Okay, but let's get more on this. Let's speak to Dr. Frank Srebo. He's the president of the Ghana Medical Association, and this really has to do beyond the CT scan issue with the state of the hospital and its equipment. Dr. Srebo, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. What do you know about this particular complaint about the CT scan?
Good evening to you and good evening to your listeners. I think that from your own narrative, there is a CT scan, even though it's a PPP arrangement, that is a private-public partnership arrangement that is in place. And I think earlier I spoke to your reporter, and I told him that doing a PPP in a hospital facility is nothing new. The days where hospitals have to even procure some of these hard equipment is no more anywhere. Now people do placement. Placement simply means that somebody brings a machine, puts it in the facility, make sure that he procures consumables, make sure he maintains the machine, and also the hospital benefits as part of the profit that the machine is making. So it is nothing new, and it's not something that we should rather be running away from. It's something that we should be embracing. I manage a hospital in Mekwai. I'll be happy to have somebody put a CT scan there and run it, and then I ensure that patients have access to it. And then whatever proceeds that come out of it, if there's any renting that a person can have to rent, he pays me.
But
I don't
what
worry
about
my head about maintenance. I don't worry my head about consumables. And that is how it is worked.
In the case of Kolibu, though, they have one that broke down 5 years ago. But what about repairing
Kolibu
that?
We should rather be doing more of such. We should see more private people take up the space. Kolibu should not spend money going to repair that CT scan 5 years ago CT scan. So it's important we understand. We may have our grievances, but it doesn't mean we should bastardize Kolibu management for entering into a PPP arrangement. Not at all. What do the patients want? Is it not a CT scan? Is it available? So if you are not careful, you will think that every time government should procure this, government should do that, government should do that. Government should do some of the things, and private people should support government.
You talk about what the patients want. Under this PPP arrangement, is the cost to the patients the same as when Kolibu has your own running CT scan?
It's an arrangement that you have with whoever is bringing it. If you have a cost containment measure, you will apply it. And most people are happy to do that. If there is a rate that I'm sure you can even get at a lower rate in Confirmative in Kolibu, per the PPP arrangement and going outside Kolibu. Kolibu, who needs the CT scan firms to work with? Is it not the doctors? Who has a patient in the hospital? It's not the doctors. And the doctors are not even complaining.
I mean,
so the fact that you are looking for something to manage and that thing is not available does not mean that you have to start making noise that 5 years ago something broke down, it wasn't fixed. Meanwhile, you have a CT scan.
I mean, you don't
Why
find it.
Why do government spend money to go and buy another CT scan when somebody can place a CT
you don't
scan
find
there
it,
for it to work?
You don't find it curious that they run a CT scan, they charge patients for it, it broke down, they can't find that money that they charge us for to fix
let
it.
Let me tell you what happens. When you have a hospital and you run a CT scan, the money that it comes, you can't mark it as a CT scan money. It goes into one account. So what happens is that if you have other competing necessities, you would use the money for that. And remember that our healthcare is not profit-making per se. It's a social intervention. Healthcare is very expensive. But we run our public hospital such that, one, we don't even consider salaries. We don't consider, and I'm sure recently you saw the electricity company chasing hospitals to go and pay electricity bills. You saw it?
Yes.
Because the charges that we are taking in the public hospitals are unable to ensure that you are able to meet all those targets. If we are saying we are going to run on commercial basis, let's check realistic tariffs pay our workers and ensure that we're able to pay our water bills, electricity bills, and so forth. I'm telling you, maybe 50 to 60% of people who go to Kolebu cannot afford Kolebu. They can't. Because Kolebu will begin to charge realistic prices. So let us not see that, oh, Kolebu had a CT scan, the CT scan broke down, they couldn't fix it, and so forth, and that they have somebody who place it there. I'll be happy. Let me tell you what I've done in Bekwai. I have a lab, right? But my lab is not able to do everything. So I have asked SenLab to come, take up space in my hospital, such that SenLab, the labs that we cannot do, SenLab can do them for our patients at a cost. Because I'm not interested in going to pick money to go and make sure that we are able to do some of the labs, which maybe in a month you have only one person doing that lab. It won't benefit me in any way. And that is the kind of arrangement we should be going. We should rather encourage more hospitals to do these kind of placements so that the equipment will have enough and people can have access to them. So not about bastardizing the management and saying they have gone to PPP and that distance for 5 years ago. It hasn't changed anything.
You make the point.
That is that we should rather encourage.
You make the point about healthcare in Kolebu and other public institutions. It's a public good. And so you don't aim to make profit. But if you look at what the private health facilities do, when they have a facility or an equipment breakdown, they invest in repairing it, and through that you make more money.
Private health facilities, what they do is that they usually will talk to the manufacturers and they come and do placements in their facility. So even at the private level, placement is done. So the machine will be there, but the machine doesn't belong to the hospital, even the private man. So this is, we should rather be encouraging our managers to be thinking outside the box and be doing more of this so that we will be able to get the necessary equipment out there. So the fact that you are ahead of something, and because once you bring in a private man to come and put his machine there, you have no oversight responsibility over that machine, does not mean that you bastardize the process. And that is what is happening in Kolebu.
You mentioned that, as far as you're concerned, the Agenda 111 hospitals might have this arrangement too.
Let me tell you what I was proposing. And I've spoken to at least a few of the people in the Health of Affairs that, look, even this Agenda 111 project that we are building, why can't government sublet some of it to private individuals, run it as good practice, employ their own nurses, employ their own other health workers, supporting them, and then doctors, so that they run it and pay government back? Not a government facility per se. Then government can take that money and build more.
I mean, but why should they do that? I mean, you run the risk.
And this will even take people off government payroll.
Yeah, but you run the risk of privatizing what was originally meant to be a social good.
But that is the thing. So we allow it to be there. It won't generate enough profit. And then at the end of the day, if government is not able to build more hospitals, what happens?
Well, the government must find a way of running that sustainable. Isn't that down to poor management? And that's what we should be fixing rather than privatizing the.
That is why you have to look at which ones you can use to do that and which ones you can't use to do that. You set price. It's a matter of analyzing it. And that is what we should be doing. Look, I have somebody attend a hospital in the United States for just one day admission. And if I tell you that person had to pay $11,000 for upper respiratory tract infection, you won't believe it. $11,000. So healthcare is not cheap. It's just that we have become cheap. And of course, it's because we see it as a social intervention. That is good. And that is the reason why you see how health insurance, we are all struggling to ensure that health insurance is sustainable. And that is why now we have health insurance levies, we have this, so that at the end of the day, those monies go back to support all of us, our healthcare. So healthcare has never been cheap. It's never been cheap. Let's encourage Kolebu to rather source for another PPP and put up an MRI there. Well, source for another PPP and put a CAT scan there. That is what they should be doing.
I'm grateful, Dr. Frank Cerebo, for joining me with your thoughts on this. He's the president of the Ghana Medical Association. I want to hear you on his proposals on the back of the complaints from the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, where the MRI unit head has been complaining about the lack of Kolebu's own equipment being repaired and they're resorting rather to the use of a private MRI facility and an equipment there. I want to hear from you on this. 055-111-1997. There's crisis tonight on the labor front on the horizon, with more unions considering industrial action over unmet agreements with government. Teachers of the various colleges of education who have been on strike for almost 2 months have now vowed not to call off their strike. This comes just hours after the court adjourned the case brought by the National Labour Commission against them indefinitely. Now, the exhausted NLC as a last attempt to, after trying all other means to get the teachers to return to the classrooms, went to court as a last resort, praying the court to order the teachers to return to the classrooms. Well, we'll hear from the teachers shortly. But first, listen to the students who are now frustrated by the situation and are considering pushing for the temporary closure of the colleges across the country. Razak Swali is a president of the Trainee Teachers Association.
Because it's week, it's almost week 8, and then academic activities are not ongoing. So at our end, it's giving the students a lot of pressure. So if the strike cannot be resolved in the anytime soon, it is proper we let the students go, so that anytime the strike is settled, then the students are back to campus. We are still appealing to them. We agree with them perfectly that their concerns and demands are legitimate. And then what we are appealing for is for a call-off, so that we can have our academic activities as soon as possible.
Concerns there from the Teacher Trainees Association. The statement, the National Conference of Principals of Colleges of Education, PRINCOF, is making a passionate appeal to the Colleges of Education, that the teachers' unions there, to return to the classroom to end this ongoing strike. We'll get into that for you on the day when we're now hearing growing calls for the colleges to now be closed on the back of this prolonged strike by the teachers. And my colleague Papania Shali is with me in the studio with more on this. What is PRINCOF asking for now?
So, Evans, in a letter that they sent to the media, they says, or the Conference of the Principals of the College of Education is making a passionate appeal to the Colleges of Education, Teachers Association of Ghana, CTAC, to call off their strike and return to the classroom today, August 7, 2024. It continues, it says, that while PRINCOF acknowledges and appreciates the members of CTAC's concerns on their delayed implementation of the arbitration award by the NLC on the migration of the staff onto the university's payroll structure, the payment of the all-year-round allowance for 2022 and the book and research allowances, we are of the view that your return to the lecture rooms will pave way for a speedy resolution of the issues. Indeed, as immediate employers, we have evidence that implementation has started. We are pleased to inform you that PRINCOF has been actively engaging the government to address these concerns in a speedy manner.
Did he address the fundamental concern? Is it time to close the schools? And has it now become untenable to continue having the children in the classroom with no teachers? It's been going on now for almost 50 days.
Yeah. Evans, specifically from PRINCOF's statement, they did not mention that at all. However, what they are asking is that, well, if the teachers did return to the lecture halls for fruitful engagements to continue, they will work to resolve the locked up July salaries, which, you know, that was a letter from GTEC to PRINCOF not to approve or rectify that payment. It says that if you come back to the classrooms today, we will go ahead and regulate or allow these monies to be paid to you. They didn't talk about that. Mm. What we have heard is from the students, rather, who are now calling for the schools to be closed down.
Okay, Papa, thank you very much. Let's bring in CTAG. Fidelis Kamai joins us on the phone. He's a member of the Communications Directorate of CTAG on the phone with us right now. Fidelis, thanks for time here on Newsnight. Just to confirm, you did not receive salaries for July, did you?
Good evening to you and to the listeners. Yes, we did not receive July salaries.
Where we stand tonight, you are on course to also forgo your August salaries.
It depends on what happens.
Depends on you calling off your strike.
It depends. If the arbitral awards are implemented, we'll call off the strike.
Yeah, so if you stay on strike, you would forgo your August salary as well.
if that will make our employer pay our or implement the award, why not?
And
we are ready for that.
And your members are happy with forgoing their salaries for 2 months?
They are not happy, but they feel that the sacrifice is worth it.
You've just heard the Prinkov statement. They say if you return to the classroom right now, they will quickly process your salaries for you. Will that change your minds?
Yeah, I heard your colleague read the appeal to us. But take a sober reflection on what he read. Does it sound like an appeal? Giving ultimatum? Intimidating us? You are in talks with the employer. You have evidence. How come CITAG is affected? Doesn't have that evidence. So these are part of the tactics the two, I mean, the government and our principals are doing to coerce us, to force us to go to the classroom.
I mean,
they don't do anything about the arbitral award.
I mean, by the way, I mean, this matter, part of it is in court. You know the NLC is in court compelling government to meet the agreement, to fulfill the terms of the agreement with you. So you know that there's a lot of action trying to get this resolved. Government met you. From what I understand, two of your three demands have already been met or currently being processed. It's still not enough?
All these are part of the tactics, the orchestrations, the I don't know how to put them. You see, the NLC has gone to court twice. The government or the employer has never stepped foot in the court. So what are they telling us? They have not gone to court to show them the proof that they're really implementing our words. So they just come to the media, throw information about as if they are doing something about it. But in reality, that is not the case. At the last time we even met with the minister, he said that they're going to have migration and there's going to be a monitoring team that's going to monitor the work they are doing every week. We're in the second week. As we speak, CITAG don't have any representation on that particular committee. That committee has not been called. We don't know what is happening.
Where you are now, as far as the school's continuous opening is concerned, the students are now suggesting that it's time to consider a temporary close of the facilities while this is resolved. What's CITAG's own take on that? Are you in support of the school's closing in the meantime whilst resolved this, considering that this has been going on for more than 50 days now?
Yes, it is. So what our position is that we expect our employers to comply with the arbitral award. That is what our interest is now. Whether the schools to be closed or not to be closed, we are not interested in that. When the arbitral awards are implemented today, tomorrow, we'll be in the classrooms teaching.
Thank you very much, Fidelis. And by the way, that's not the only strike that is happening or is about to unfold. As you may know, three unions, again in the education sector, are already warning of another strike by Friday. I'm talking about the three unions, the Federation of University Senior Staff Association of Ghana, the Senior Staff Association of University of Ghana, and the Teachers and Educational Workers Union, TUC, have all given government up until Friday to give assurances to pay the outstanding allowances or face your wrath. There's more in this report.
On June 19, 2024, the National Labour Commission summoned the parties involved in the dispute over their allowances and directed them to engage and report back by June 26, 2024. An agreement was reached and an addendum signed following discussions with the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. Although the Commission has written to the Ministry of Finance to authorise payment, the Ministry has yet to issue the necessary letter causing delays. With the three institutions, they have a staff strength of 9,000. Should the strike proceed, it is expected to significantly impact university operations across the country. Academic activities, including lectures, exams, and administrative functions, could be brought to a halt. Research projects may also be stalled. The strike also poses risks to the overall stability of public universities, affecting not only the immediate academic environment, but also the broader community relying on these institutions. National Chairman of the Senior Staff Association of the Universities of Ghana, George Anson, doubts that the universities could operate at all.
So if all the junior staff and the senior staff are embarking on strike, you can imagine whether the university will be able to work. If all drivers, all cleaners, all secretarial workers, account workers, nurses, security, and all that. They are all staying home, you can imagine. And we don't think that government is being fair to us because we have signed an agreement on the 26th of June. Now you call and engage, they tell you, oh, we are sorry, government or the ministry was busy preparing the mid-year budget, so that is why the letter couldn't come. We waited, then oh, we are also preparing something for IMF. We have had all this patience. Now GTEC, the regulator, is also instructing the universities who are on intervention and are being paid not to pay until they see that letter. So we are asking government or the ministry to immediately bring the letter out so that tempest will calm down, else on the Friday of this week, we are back on strike.
Well, still on the subject of strikes, the Federation of Allied Health Professionals at the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, who are demanding a seat on the hospital's management board. They are counting the days until their new 90 ultimatum expires. Earlier today, they met with the National Labour Commission, which has instructed all parties to resolve the issue before next week, Friday. Dr. Francis Kwachienchi is the chairman of the Kolebu chapter of the Federation of Allied and Professional Health Workers Association.
Yeah, so we are to report there on the 14th. That's next week Thursday. So we all went there to argue our case, and then also looking at the issue of actually resolved. That if the minister has taken interest, we should give the minister opportunity to resolve and then report back to them. Yeah, so yesterday, as was communicated, we asked members to resume work today. So this morning, work began, and work is still ongoing. So we believe that the minister will be able to resolve this matter. We are just trusting on the minister to get this issue resolved. Without it, we will have to return back to our members.
So live here on Newsnight, it's on Joy 99.7 FM. Still ahead, Ghanaians in the UK fearful of their safety as anti-immigration protests targeting minority groups sweeps across the country.
We are traumatized about the current protests happening here in the UK. We've warned our kids not to go out.
We'll be live in the UK right after George's done. George, planning to go to the UK anytime soon?
Not sure about that, but very interesting development in the UK. And anybody who followed developments there, it was just about a time bomb that was just waiting to happen.
It was sweeping across the UK like wildfire over the weekend. There have been riots and looting, actually. And there have been many, many arrests. Yeah. And we've been talking to Ghanaians. We'll hear a bit more from them, but also what the authorities are doing right there in the UK to try and protect our compatriots who are in the UK. More on this after business. What do you have in the headlines?
Olivans, more than 200 businesses for the next 3 years cannot access fresh credit from the banking system, and also cannot issue checks because they were found to have issued checks, and that is the Bank of Ghana issuing these sanctions to them. And Registrar General, that is Registrar of Companies, vows to remove 47 professional bodies from their books, including the Bar Association, from the beginning of next year. They fail to regularize their status by the end of this year. The business news on Newsnight is brought to you by MTN Business. Welcome to the new world of business. Kingdom Books and Stationery, Synthes Tanks, and Pepsodent Herbal and Charcoal.
Luxurious affordable living is your right, and no one understands it better than BOT Properties. BOT Properties specializes in modern residential buildings and commercial office spaces. Our properties include the Equator, a 12-story made up of over 100 apartments near Accra Mall. At the Equator Courts, we offer you the deluxe living experience with our top-of-the-range homes, high-quality homes built with style and precision to suit your lifestyle. The Equator Courts is a gated community with two-story, four-bedroom detached houses at Obojo, East Legon, near American House. Our office complexes include Zion House, Shiashi, East Legon, Zion House, Sofa Line Interchange, Kumasi. Our offices and apartments are for both rental and outright purchases at affordable prices and with flexible payment terms. Kindly contact us on 0257-960-919 or visit botproperties.com. BOT Properties, the new meaning of affordable luxury.
Son, we are so proud of you for setting up this hospital. I really love those hospital beds and waiting chairs. By the way, did you import them?
No, Dad, I didn't. I actually got them from Kindle Books and Stationery right here in Ghana.
Wow. We also bought our office supplies, safes, executive desks and chairs from Kingdom, and they gave us expert advice on how to set up our office.
Guys, that makes three of us. I also got our sofa and bedroom sets, plus our dining hall furniture for our new home from Kingdom.
Wow, Mom, that makes four of us. I usually get my stationery items from Kingdom, and my teacher also mentioned that our classroom furniture was provided by Kingdom.
So there you have it. Whenever you're thinking about setting up an office or acquiring furniture for your home, etc., Kingdom Books and Stationery should be your first point of call. With over 40 years experience in the industry, we stock and supply a wide variety of globally sourced office and home furniture, stationery and equipment. Visit our head office, Osu Akwaje, or our office near the Osu Stadium. We're also in Tema Community 1, opposite Olam SHF, Kumase KNUSD Campus, UCC Cape Coast, and now at the Marina Mall, Airport City. Or call us 0302-764101, 764209 or 762792. Visit our website, www.kingdomgh.com.
Hey, so as for you, every day you are just pressing your phone. Why? Are they paying you?
They are, Omar.
Eh?
The more I use my MTN, the more points I get. And I can use those points to get airtime, data, and even discounts at shops and restaurants.
Hey, so that is why all of you are always pressing your phones. And you won't tell us, so that way too we can enjoy some.
Oh, Omar.
There's always more to enjoy with MTN Rewards. Just keep talking, testing, and browsing all day, every day to collect your points and use it to redeem amazing offers and discounted freebies right away. There's so much available for you. So dial *550# and get your reward today. Let's go everywhere you go.
Schools, 15 companies, 3 days of business pitching, and one champion under the theme Green Innovation. It's the National Business Pitch Competition, NBPC 2024, brought to you by JA Ghana. Dates 7th to 9th August 2024 at the International Community School, Ogbojo Campus. Each day, who takes the title as the 2024 Company of the Year? Could it be your school? All events will be streamed live online via the JA Ghana official social media handles. Visit jaghana.org or follow at JA Ghana on all social media handles for more details. To sponsor, call 0241-490-868. Hashtag NBPC. Hashtag Africa Koi 2024. Hashtag Greenovation. Greenovation, innovative solutions for a more sustainable future.
Yes. We have a new leader in town, OBRNT. I'm on for. Me don't want to see the brain. When you say my baby, maybe mama more charcoal for whiter teeth.
More charcoal.
Not only that, maybe mama lemon.
More lemon.
Zinc for fresher breath.
More zinc.
And fluoride for stronger teeth.
Hey. Introducing the new President Charcoal packed with more power with a combination of charcoal and lemon for naturally whiter teeth. Grab yours now. This advert is FDA approved.
They're luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone, yeah.
Here's to the friends who dialed *712# and found no regrets. To the investors who struck gold. To the health workers who diagnosed luck with precision. To the tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. To the passionate fan who couldn't contain his joy. To the seamstress who turned her hard-earned stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, here's to you. Your next big win is right here.
Luck is everywhere.
Dial *712# Now join in the luckiest winning celebration. Every 1st July 2024. Over dial *712# Now I can swear to take it through as a group, individual, and as a, even as a community. Now win is the car cashier. Prizes are cashier in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with *712#. Now join in the winning streak now.
The luckiest.
*712#
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
You're welcome.
back to business on Newsnight. Now, the Bank of Ghana has barred 245 businesses and 47 individuals from accessing new credit facilities from the banking system. It has also restricted these individuals and firms from issuing checks in Ghana for 3 years. There is more in this report.
The Bank of Ghana, in a statement, maintained that it has taken this action due to the fact that the affected bank customers issued DAD checks on at least three occasions between January 2022 and January 2024. This is despite warnings about the consequences of their actions. The Bank of Ghana maintained that effective date for the sanction is 28th June 2024. This should mean that the sanctions have already taken effect. It adds that the above sanctions are without prejudice to any legal proceedings that may be taken against the offenders under Ghana's criminal code. The Bank of Ghana also directed all banks and specialized deposit-taking institutions whose customers are involved to notify the corporates of the ban and recall all unused checkbooks from them. It reminded these institutions that they cannot issue new checkbooks to the affected customers until the sanctions are lifted. The central bank has also assured that it will not hesitate to take tough sanctions against customers to serve as a deterrent to others, promising to monitor the payment system space closely whilst promoting integrity and soundness of the financial system.
And that is a business desk report. Meanwhile, the Bank of Ghana has assured that it would work with all players to ensure that these sanctions are duly enforced. Dr. Kwesi Oseyeboa is Director of Financial Stability at the Bank of Ghana.
Notify the banks, and we've asked them to notify their customers. So as we speak, it is a fair assumption to say that all these individuals and entities have been notified. In fact, some of them have reached out to us offering all manner of explanation as to why it happened. So they've been notified.
All right, so would you go ahead to publish the names of these persons and institutions on your website, for instance, for the sake of individuals and businesses who may have transacted business with them before, you know, you releasing up, coming up with this statement?
We think at this stage it's confidential information. You know, want to respect the privacy of these individuals and entities concerned. So we've indicated these individuals and entities to the banks for them to inform them.
And what measures have you put in place to ensure that, well, it is actually enforced by all players, because you are saying that they cannot take fresh facilities from the banking system?
We're doing our usual on-site and off-site supervisory activities, and we're monitoring it. Mind you, this is not a one-off thing. It's supposed to be done periodically. For the next 3 months, we'll come out with the next set of entities, if there are any, and we'll publish those as well.
Dr. Kwesi Oseyeboa is Director of Financial Stability Department at the Bank of Ghana, speaking to my colleague Pius Kujubaka on Business Live on Joy News earlier today. Now, Fitch Ratings is projecting that the economy would end the year with an improved position, as well as some favorable indicators. Now, these are some of the issues highlighted in its latest report on Ghana after classifying the country as a restrictive default. There is more in this report.
One of the economic indicators that is expected to improve greatly by December this year is Ghana's international reserves. The deal between Ghana and its external creditors will lead to more donor inflows, as well as funds from some international private creditors. This could go a long way to strengthen the country's dollar reserves. The strengthened reserves could also improve Ghana's deficit situation, since there would be enough foreign exchange to meet its international payment obligations. Fitch, in its report, also maintained that government will end the year with an improved primary surplus position. Fitch is also convinced that managers of the economy will exercise caution on spending during the 2024 election season due to the ongoing IMF program. If some of these projections are anything to go by, this will go a long way to help in restoring confidence in the economy. This is due to the fact that many foreign businesses rely on reports from international institutions such as Fitch in taking critical investment decisions.
And that is a business desk report. Now, Registrar of Company Jimmy Omowara is promising to remove 47 professional bodies from their books, including the Ghana Bar Association and the Chartered Institute of Bankers, by January next year. That is, if they fail to regularize their status by filing their annual returns by the end of this year. Madam Omowara tells your business steps must be taken to ensure that everyone operates and respects the law.
We are professionals by the fact that we've been called to the bar. But we are all members of the association. I am also a member of the Ghana Bar Association. But that doesn't mean that the right thing should not be done. And so we would advise that to make us comfortable in operating as professionals under the GBA or under the Chartered Institute of Bankers or any of the professional bodies I've mentioned, and even the Ghana Journalists Association, all of you are part of it. We have to make sure, yes, we have to make sure that the professional body itself is in compliance with the Act. And then each of you members also have been registered and renewed and in good standing. So it's all of us. And mind you, I'm not cancelling anybody yet. I'm just informing you of the need to update before the end of the year. But the end of the year is just sort of an indication. But the real date is 31st of January, 2025.
Madam Jimmy Omowara is the registrar of companies. Let's now turn our attention to the stock market. And if you are a shareholder of MTN Ghana today, lost 6 pesos, and the value of the share that you're holding now is 2 Ghana cedis. That is 41 pesos. That's all for business on Newsnight.
Thank you very much, George. We can do sports now. And Ms. Bao is here with the latest.
Hello, Evans. Well, bring you some update from the Olympic Games. And, you know, South Sudan have been participating in the basketball event, and they have impressed pretty well. They couldn't advance beyond the group stage. But what was interesting was that there was a Ghanaian in their technical team.
Interesting.
You know, we have a way of, you know, just connecting ourselves by affiliation. He is a British-born Ghanaian. So we take him like that. And his name even gives him out the more. Now, he has been speaking about what Africa as a whole can learn from South Africa, from South Sudan. And he says that the South Sudan performance, the coach by name Jaflo Kwame Lakai, hope I got it right, he believes that South Sudan's success story is one that other African countries can emulate. Now, the Bright Stars claimed an upset win against Puerto Rico on their Olympics debut in the Games, making them just the third African team to win their first game at the Olympics. Now, Lakai believes that the East African country has already created a template for the rest of Africa, and Ghana in particular, to follow as far as basketball is concerned.
No, I think it is something that not just Ghana, but as a lot of African countries can emulate, because there's talent all over the place. So let's say with South Sudan, before joining the organization, I didn't know that there were so many players around the globe from South Sudan who could really, really play at a high level. And I'm sure it's the same of Ghana. There's some guys in the NBA, I'm sure guys in high level Europe, Australia, or in Asia that we can band together that would like to play for their country. Like me personally, I played for Great Britain. So I was born and raised there. And I play for Great Britain because there wasn't a national team for me to play for in Ghana. So we're going to create that, and we can get those guys who haven't already committed to a national team to play for Ghana. Then would I be involved? I'll be involved, yes.
Yeah, that's Jaflo Kwame Lakai, the assistant coach of the South Sudan basketball team there. Well, let me bring you some medal table now, and let me just focus on Africa. Now, this is how it's looking like. South Africa, they've got 4 medals. They've got 1 gold, 1 silver and 2 bronze medals. Quite impressive. Kenya also got 1 gold, 1 silver and 1 bronze. So 3 in total. Then we've got Algeria, who've got 1 gold medal only. And the other country there is Ethiopia. And Uganda also got 1 gold medal. And Ethiopia has also got 2 silver medals. Well, on Thursday, that's where we'll be hoping to see if Ghana can go all the way and win a medal. It has to do with the 4x100. Relay, and Ghana will be in the heats, and we'll see if they can get us a medal in that event. It's quite unlikely, but we can only keep our hopes high.
Well, thank you very much, Ms. Bao. So, live your news tonight is on Joy 99.7. I'll be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly. I want to take you to the United Kingdom now, where affairs continue to grow among the Ghanaian community there following violent protests fueled by racial tensions and immigration. So far, more than 400 people have been arrested. The BBC reports of instances where homes were broken into by protesters targeting immigrants. Listen to some Ghanaians in the UK caught up in the chaos.
Na ni apostle ni didi ama ye ni aye yem shishi yen si se yembe se yemba ye won yemba kra be pie because we are say sounds
we are traumatized about the current protests happening here in the UK. We've warned our kids not to go out because we are told the protesters are heading to southwest London where we stay. I have 3 kids. Since the protests began, I have told them not to step foot outside because they could be attacked. Only God can protect us now as things stand. Please remember us in prayers.
Children like me.
Okay. So I know you're on school vacation. Do you, in the event school reopens, will you be happy to go back to school?
No.
Why no?
Because I don't know what's going to happen on my way to school or my way back because I may be alone.
It's quite a concerning story. It's a bit panicky, I'm going to be frank with you. What we have at the moment is I have 3 young men. And I feel so, you know, it's quite a difficult situation to actually handle because at the moment I don't know who is going to do what.
Let's bring in UK-based Ghanaian journalist Kofi Richie, joins us on the line right now from UK. And Kofi, so tonight as we speak, are things calming down a bit or the tensions are still raging high?
Tension as it stands, we have a lot of people still fighting the police. The police are there to enforce the law and also make sure there is still peace, harmony, people live as peaceful as ever. But it doesn't look great. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, Keir Starmer, has called emergency COBRA meeting. So COBRA is an acronym which stands for Cabinet Office Briefing Room. Cabinet Office Briefing Room A, and it usually calls the COBRA meeting when there is the essence of addressing something holistically or emergency. This is the second time that he has called COBRA meeting, and that shows or indicates that there's chaos, there's mayhem, and it's about to escalate and reach a different pedigree altogether. Intelligence gathered, and it was collected from an encrypted platform, Telegram, and also on WhatsApp, indicates that there are 38 cities targeted in the United Kingdom of Great Britain, that these far-right groups, which I will simply say racial organizations set up since time immemorial, 1945 up to today, and targeting areas prone with ethnic minority people. Their priority is to discourage migrants from coming to this country. They have objectives, they have missions, and their targets or whatever they've been proclaiming is that enough is enough. The British government stand ajar, stand on concern for people taking perilous adventures coming to this country. They decided to trigger their motives, ambitions, objectives, and mission when the unexpected incident occurred recently at Southport, where a 70-year-old gentleman gruesomely murdered 3 children, 6 years, 7 years, and 9 years. So that triggered every single event that we've experienced
and we
today.
We just heard the sounds of some Ghanaians who are worried about what's happening and how that may affect them. Have we heard anything at all from our High Commission there?
Ivan, that's so surprising. I have not heard anything from the Ghana High Commission in the United Kingdom, but I'm very optimistic that they will end up coming out. The order of the day is they are the embodiment of the Ghana government. They are representing the Ghana government. So I do expect them to come out with a kind of messages. What we've done as the media fraternity or the members belonging to the fraternity, we've actually worded one of few combined articulated messages and we've sent them viral based on the intelligence that was made available to us that tomorrow, Wednesday, the 7th of August, there will be serial demonstration in London. The initial one, people mobilized in front of number 10 Downing Street, the residence of the Prime Minister, and exhibited their discontent regarding how the influx of migrants from Africa, the influx of migrants from Asia, and they did remonstrate. At that point in time, it wasn't chaotic. It was more like a peaceful demonstration. But so far as it's been fueled by the far-right organization led by Tommy Thompson, who is who's got racial discrimination running through his anatomy and his whole body. Obviously, he's instigated and he's persuaded and convinced the white majority, making up about 70% of the population, to go after or persecute the ethnic minority. The misconception is that...
And tonight, we learned that he's now been declared wanted, and we know that authorities, they have said that those organizing this from abroad, and I understand he's in Cyprus himself, will be targeted and repatriated back to the UK to face prosecution. Kofi, thank you very much for that update there. Very comprehensive indeed. We'll be coming back to you for updates as and when this unfolds with this planned demonstration in London tomorrow. I want to quickly bring in Dr. Ishmael Hlovo. He's an international relations expert into this conversation as Ghanaian community there look up to the our own High Commission there for some assistance. And Doc, this is a very complex unfolding matter. How should our authorities be dealing with this, considering that Ghanaians all speaking to us tonight are concerned about this? How should the High Commission handle this?
Okay, good evening to you and good evening to your listeners. It is actually a very difficult moment for Ghanaian citizens who are in the UK. What we should be doing is to at least give them a statement that we assure them of our commitment to protect them. Even within that territory. And I'm sure that the government of Ghana by now is in contact with the UK authorities and will have received some assurances of the various plans by the UK government to bring this situation under control. But as an embassy, it is just right to send signals to your citizens wherever they are. Either you are encouraging them to stay indoors or to avoid certain areas that have been targeted by this white supremacist or group. So, yes, as an embassy, we are expecting them, if they have the contact of Ghanaians throughout that territory, they will have sent messages to them, cautioning them about what they should do in case of coming under attack. And more essentially, cautioning them not to be seen in areas where these protesters are gathered.
Thank you very much. That's there is Dr. Ishmael Hlovo. And if you're in the UK tonight, you want to be safe as you wait for the High Commission to intervene somewhat. Now, just before we wrap up, this is your election headquarters. Election Quarters is always brought to you by Petrosol Clean Fuel in full quantity, SIMA, the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants, AICP, and SIMA together as Association of International Certified Professional Accountants, the German Ozone Medical Center, Alternative Therapy, Dental Wellness and Beauty, Job Boss Technologies, a convenient service, Youth Brief Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development. And tonight, the NDC flag bearer, John Mahama, has taken his campaign to the Upper East region with his campaign team accusing the MPP of vote buy in the region.
MPP have adopted a strategy because they know elections are coming. They've taken some of their candidates who are going to stand and they've given them positions in government so that they'll do what? They'll get resources and money to come and influence you to vote for them. That money they are bringing is your money. If they bring it, collect it and... because they can't buy you for 200 cedis and 500 cedis. You are more precious than 500 cedis. And if you take 200, 500, and you sit in hunger for another 4 years, what is the purpose?
Well, attention now to the governing MPP, where the flag bearer of the party, Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia, the vice president, continues his tour in the southern part of the country. Samuel Mbura has more in this report.
MPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is currently on phase two of his constituency-based campaign tour, visiting 57 constituencies across 5 regions in the north and eastern region so far. Throughout his tour, he has consistently shared his vision for change and economic transformation. Receiving support from many traditional authorities, many of the chiefs have praised him for his humility.
No kwarini ayana mise ewiasi enyahomaso na yedi yebribi na moya homrase ayaya honrabo vice president ene upper president edi papa your homrase fu ye papa pa chese oyabo frew oyo panyine o papa bread no wasima.
Dr. Bawumia has reiterated his commitment to inclusive education if elected.
I have proposed and will champion the recruitment and training of at least 1,000 more special education teachers, training teachers in language and speech therapy, as well as occupational and behavioral therapy. High school.
And that's it. Your election headquarters are keeping an eye on the campaign as they build up into the December 7 elections. And it's now time for me to step out of here. But I'm leaving you in the safe hands of Adobia, who's coming up next with the Geek Squad. What are you talking about tonight?
We will continue with the support for our listeners. I think that the feedback has been so good, and we felt from last week that we just need to have a last round of it. So today we are still open. People can call in, talk about whatever issues they are facing, and then we will support them on that.
Okay, you really want to stay. My name is Evans Messenger. Enjoy the rest of your evening.